From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Evidences of the Lord's Presence, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Is There a Difference? The text is found in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What? Has God power over the tongues of dogs? Can He keep curs from barking? Yes, it is even so. He can prevent an Egyptian dog from worrying one of the lambs of Israel's flock. Doth God silence dogs and doggish ones among men and the great dog at hell's gate? Then let us move on our way without fear. If He lets dogs move their tongues, yet He can stop their teeth. They may make a dreadful noise, and still do us no real harm. Yet how sweet is quiet, how delightful to move about among enemies, and perceive that God maketh them to be at peace with us. Like Daniel in the den of lions, we are unhurt amid destroyers. Oh, that today this word of the Lord to Israel might be true to me. Does the dog worry me? I will tell my Lord about him. Lord, He does not care for my pleadings. Do Thou speak the word of power, and he must lie down. Give me peace, O my God, and let me see Thy hand so distinctly in it that I may most clearly perceive the difference which Thy grace has made between me and the ungodly.
Honor. guides me as I seek to please him day by day.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you. The text for this message is found in verses 31 to 34 of Joshua chapter 22. The earlier portions of the chapter relate the reaction of the 9.5 tribes when they heard that the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar of their own on the east side of Jordan in the land that had been given to them by Moses. War was averted only when Joshua learned that those tribes had built that altar as a memorial to God and as a reminder to their children that they were part of the people of Israel. In our text, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, responds to the happy outcome with these words, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." This truth is one that should bring great encouragement to the people of God. Whether in the church or in our personal lives, nothing is more important than the assurance that the Lord is with us. Now to begin this message, Evidences of the Lord's Presence Among His People. Here is Dr. Cairns.
I'm going to turn this morning to the book of Joshua. We're now in chapter 22, toward the end of the chapter. We're going to read from verse 30 to verse 34. "And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them to battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God." Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. Last time we were in the book of Joshua, we looked generally at the 22nd chapter and considered the altar that was raised at the Jordan by the 2.5 tribes whose inheritance was on the east side of that river. We thought of the witness of the cross, for that was the altar of witness. Before we leave this 22nd chapter, however, there is a statement that must take our attention. It's found in verse 31, the words of Phinehas, or Phinehas, or Phinehas. I've heard him pronounced all these ways. So whichever way you're at home, you just think of him that way. And I'll call him Phinehas. But the words of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to the tribes on the eastern side of Jordan, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." This day we perceive that the Lord is among us. I wish that we could always say the same thing. For the Lord's presence is the most important thing that we can consider in our Christian lives and in our church worship. Without the presence of the Lord, we have nothing. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 15:5? "Without me, ye can do nothing." Moses, the man of God, contemplated going up into the land of promise. And in his great prayer in Exodus 33, he said, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." So the presence of the Lord is vitally important to the people of God. It's the presence of the Lord that really marks the difference between the life of the saint in the life of the sinner. The psalmist recognized that in the 143rd Psalm when he prayed, "Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit." What is it that marks the difference between the life of a saint and the life of the sinner? It is the presence of God in that life. The presence of God is what equips the people of God for service. Without the Lord's presence, we have no spiritual power. The power of God comes from the Spirit of God, not from anyone else or anything else. And so if the Lord be not with us, whatever else we have by way of wealth or organization or ability or human talent or human effort, we have no spiritual power. There are no substitutes for the presence of the Lord. You remember how Samson found that out? We read in Judges chapter 16, verse 20 and 21, of Samson awaking from sleep as he lay in the lap of Delilah, having compromised himself and betrayed his God and his people. We read that Samson awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and will shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. I think that's one of the saddest passages in the Bible. It presents one of the saddest sights in the Bible. See Solomon or Samson lying there, asleep at ease in the lap of Delilah. He hears the words, "The Philistines be upon you." He awakes out of sleep. He feels the same. Everything looks the same as it had been every other time this cry had been made in his ears. He says, "I'll shake myself. I'll arise and I'll go out. I have slaughtered these Philistines many a time. I'll do it again." We see him rise up in confidence and go out with assurance. But he didn't know, he didn't recognize that the Lord was departed from him. What a sad sight. And yet one that has been enacted over and over and over again in the history of the Church of Christ. The loss of the Lord's presence often goes unobserved. It's obvious Samson didn't recognize that the Lord had departed from him. His feelings were so engaged with other things that he didn't feel the departure of the divine presence with blessing. We find the same thing in the book of Ezekiel. You may well call Ezekiel the book that deals with the departing glory. You have in the 10th and 11th chapters the description of the removal of the glory of God. Step by step, the glory of the Lord is removed from the land of Judah. And each step, we read that the glory stood. It's as if the Lord were reluctant to go. It's as if every time he withdrew a step, he stopped. And he waited to see, is there anyone will even notice? Is there anyone will even care? Is there anyone who will take time to pray, "Come back, Lord, leave us not. Take not thy presence from us." But sad, there was none in Judah who seemed to care. How often the presence of the Lord is removed from the church and it's left without that mighty sense of blessing and of power. And churches are so taken up with their programs, and they're so taken up with their personnel, and they're so taken up with the wealth that they have, the money they can raise, the things they can do, that they don't even recognize that the Spirit has withdrawn Himself. I trust today we recognize our need for the presence of God, and we'll yearn for it. For the Lord delights to dwell among His people. The Lord promises to dwell among His people. And when He does dwell among His people, there are very clear evidences of it. Now, often those evidences will be extraordinary evidences. They'll be unusual signs of the Lord's presence with special power. For example, in the Old Testament, there was the fiery, cloudy pillar. There was also the Shekinah glory filling the tabernacle and later filling the temple. In the New Testament, we read of the Lord Jesus, He could not be hid. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And there were mighty signs and wonders of the Lord's presence through the Son of God. We find at Pentecost the Lord's presence evidenced by extraordinary signs. And in the days which followed, for example, in chapter 4:31 of Acts, we read of that prayer meeting when the presence of the Lord was evidenced by a physical shaking of the place wherein they were praying. And the great power of God came upon His servants. There was a tremendous demonstration of spiritual power. Now, those were extraordinary manifestations of the presence of God among His people. Such things are desirable. The Church of Christ yearns for them, and at times it sees them in those seasons we call revival. You turn the pages of church history, and every now and again, there is a superlative movement of the Spirit of God. There is such a demonstration of the power of God. It seems that the heavens are open and God pours out fullness in an unspeakable degree. Things are done that otherwise couldn't be done. More seems to be accomplished in a day than previously had been accomplished in a decade. These extraordinary signs of the presence of God among His people. Oh, for one of the days of the right hand of God. Oh, for a return of such glory. Oh, for a manifestation of such revival. This is a century in America when we sorely need to see revival. And I trust we will not lessen our praying or lose our yearning for those extraordinary proofs of the presence of God among His people. But, and this is very important, the Lord's presence is not confined to times of revival. The Lord Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And that's true even in the apparently less spectacular times of the church's work and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that for many reasons. First, because it is so possible to get so caught up with a desire for revival that we despise the ordinary means of grace and the ordinary workings of the Holy Spirit. It was in looking forward to revival that the prophet Zechariah said, "Who hath despised the day of small things, and our yearning for the great movings of the Spirit of God should not blind us to the continual movings of the Spirit of God. Our desire for extraordinary evidences of the Lord's presence should not take away our thankfulness for the ongoing proofs of the Lord's presence among His people." In fact, I think we could even say that the evident presence of God in the ordinary work and witness of the church is a necessary condition or a necessary preparation for the more extraordinary evidences of revival. Now, every indication of the Lord's presence among His people should be recognized with rejoicing. I think that's very clear in our text today. Phinehas says, "We perceive that the Lord is among us." Now, that was a testimony of thankfulness and praise. There had been no thunder, no lightning, no mighty arrows from heaven. There had been no miracles, no signs, no wonders. There had not been anything that the world would think extraordinary. And yet Phinehas says, "We perceive the presence of the Lord among us. We perceive that He is here."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.